introduce Reverend James Thomas. Reverend Thomas is the honorably retired teaching elder at the Presbyterian of Charlotte, former pastor of churches in Georgia.
Hello.
I always thought I had a big mouth. I guess it wasn't day enough.
This morning, I'd like to introduce and welcome Reverend James Thomas to our church. Reverend Thomas is an honorably retired teaching elder at the Presbyterian of Charlotte and former pastor at churches in Georgia, Nebraska, and Ohio, and several churches in Charlotte. He also served as Associate General Presbyter of the Presbyterian of Charlotte and Director of Evangelism and Church Development at the General Assembly. He is married to Linda, who is a retired educator in CMS and a father of three adult children and grandfather of three. His hobbies include woodworking, reading, walking, and fishing. He also told me he had retired three times. Every time he retires, he goes back to work. So. The second part of what I'm going to do this morning is make a couple of announcements. Today, everyone is invited to join us at our church at our Thanksgiving dinner and program in Fellowship Hall. That starts at 5:30, I think. And then after the meal, we're asking for volunteers to help us decorate the sanctuary for Christmas. Church office will be closed for the Thanksgiving holidays, for our Thursday and Friday. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is security. Starting next week, we're going to start locking at 10 minutes after 10 at the latest. We're going to lock that door and that door, which means if you need to get out, you can get out. But we feel like it's necessary to secure our building. So today's day and age is just a safe thing to do. Okay. Without further ado, Reverend Thomas.
We are here to worship God and to praise God. We will do so in an orderly fashion as we consult our order of worship. Brothers and sisters, God is worthy of our worship and our praise. Let us worship God.
Sing.
We will begin our worship. As we adore and worship our God, we will join our voices together in an act of worship and praise. Those who are able, please stand for the opening song. Come ye thankful people, come. Please remain standing.
Shout for joy, the Lord all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Now that the Lord is God, it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Continuing in our act of worship, we confess our sins. Or if anyone says he or she has not sinned, they deceive themselves, and the truth of God is not in them. The fact of the matter is, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of our God. We need now to admit our sins together. Merciful and loving God, we admit that we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is no one who is righteous. We have received your blessings and failed to thank you. Lord, have mercy upon us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that he might be dead to sin and live to all that is good. I declare to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, your sins are forgiven. We were claimed in baptism, and symbolically we are reminded that that baptism brought us into the family of God's people. We are the people of faith, and we gather in worship to acknowledge what we believe, and so we invite you now to join together in affirming our faith. Let us together read the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Peace of God be with you. Take now time to express that peace to each other.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let's continue our journey to listen to the Word of God as God brings that Word to us. Read now in your hearing from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Begin reading at verse 12. This is a series of admonitions given by the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. Let us hear God's Word. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord. And we admonish you, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the elders, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Word of the Lord for the people of God. Children, come forward.
Yeah.
worship God, we now invite you to once again hear God's word to us, this time coming from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Let us hear that word read to us. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up. Go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, and speak to our hearts and our minds. Speak to us concerning eternal things. Speak, O God, for we are listening. Speak, O God, for we need to hear from heaven. Hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In my teaching ministry, I've always said to my students that we live every day with mystery. The only thing that we know for sure is that more times than not, we experience miracles. I don't know if you remember that old TV commercial involving Father Sebastian, who had an opportunity to reproduce copies of materials that would take days to produce using the old technology. Then someone introduced him to the printing machine. And once he printed the first copy, he was amazed and he said, "A miracle, miracle." We live each day with miracles. I never shall forget that when my son was a toddler, he came home one day from school and was his habit, bad habit at that, a cramming popcorn down his throat. And I noticed he stopped breathing and was still. And I grabbed him instinctively, began to shake him. And somehow in that act, the popcorn was dislodged. And my son didn't have a clue as to what had happened. And I knew that right before my very eyes, I had experienced, not secondhandedly, firsthandedly, I had experienced God's miracle in his life, in our lives. I heard a story also about a young boy who was great, great, great friend. And he had this marvelous swimming pool in his backyard, and he invited this friend to come over one day and swim with him. The pool was about 4 feet deep, and it was from the, on the ground, from the top of the ground. There were signs posted all over, "Do not dive in this pool." But he was so excited to have his friend with him. Guess what? He dove off the ladder into the pool, head first. Hit the bottom of the pool. There he was at the bottom of the pool. The pool, 4 feet tall. He, 4 feet tall, standing on his head. All he could do was move his arms. And somehow found his way back on the top of the pool. And that young man knew that he had encountered a miracle. Miracles happen all the time. Everybody sitting here today perhaps can testify about a special miracle in your life. Miracles happen. And the result of miracles is a blessing from God. All the texts for today speak to us about Thanksgiving. Let us hear them and with our whole being for their inspiration and for their challenge. Listen to God's word proclaimed to us in Psalms as they habitually knew how important it was to take time to give thanks. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like eagles? And the answer to that question is, God does all these things for us. So, Israel, the people of God, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God's mercy endureth forever. You just heard me reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians, that one single verse. In all things, says the Apostle Paul, give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you. Our sermon text for today, on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, is taken from the Gospel of Luke. It's a moving story about 10 very sick men who had a dreadful disease called leprosy that had physical, social, and spiritual impact on them. You see, leprosy was a slowly progressing, intractable disease characterized by the formation of nodules, ulcerations, scabs, deformities, the skin alone with disturbances that made one very, very uncomfortable. People who had leprosy were isolated from the community and among their friends and family. They could not even go to the temple. Can you imagine not being able to come to Cook's Memorial because you're sick? They suffered physically as a life sentence. They suffered emotionally by separation from family. They suffered spiritually because they could not be a part of any spiritual community. There were a few instances in the Old Testament where leprosy was a form of punishment. Miriam, the sister of Moses, became leprous after she and her brother Aaron spoke ill of Moses, who had married an Ethiopian woman. Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, lied to get some money from Naaman. And of course, Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army, who was full of leprosy, and he was seeking to be healed and went everywhere seeking to be healed. Could not find healing anywhere. But there was a Jewish young girl in his household who said to him, if you would go and seek out the man of God, he would show you how to become healed. And you know the story, how he went to this prophet who told him to go into Jordan and wash 7 times. And he said, why do I have to go and wash in the Jordan? We have lakes where I came from, better lakes. And she said, the man of God has said, you go and wash 7 times. And when he did, he was healed. In all of Scripture, there are only 3 individuals who were healed of leprosy. The 2 I just mentioned, and the 3rd was an unnamed man told by Jesus in the gospel according to St. Luke. The occasion for Luke's passage shows Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, going through a region between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a small village where he was approached by 10 sick men who with one voice cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And Jesus looked upon them, never touching them, but just told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were on their way, never asking any questions, acting on faith, they began the journey to Jerusalem. And as they were on their way, they noticed something drastic was happening to them. They looked at their hands. Their hands were like brand new. They looked at their feet, and their feet were new. They looked at all of themselves, and all they could see was this brand new person, free of illness, healed, cleansed. And one man stopped and turned back and went to his benefactor and thanked him. This brother, choir members, was singing the Hallelujah chorus. But not only that, he fell down at the feet of Jesus. He praised God. He had church without someone calling for worship. An expression of his deep and abiding thanksgiving for what Christ had done for him. And then Jesus raised the question, did I not heal 10? Where are the other 9? Do the math. 90% of people who receive God's blessings don't return to say thank you. Well, we can't be too judgmental on these 9 who happen to be members of the Jewish community. Let's think in our minds that when you have spent a long time being sick, not able to do anything, go anywhere, isolated, broken in body, and you get healed, maybe in the excitement, they just simply forgot to go back. You know, that's human, isn't it? To forget. Maybe they just forgot. And we have been reminded all of our young lives, and when we get older, we are reminded again. But as children, we all were taught. Baby boomers, you in the house today? We were always taught, no matter what you receive, always take time to say thank you. And here they were forgetting to say thank you. Perhaps they didn't just forget. Maybe there were those among that group who missed their families and loved ones. Maybe they just had to go see them and let them see how clean they were. And they didn't go back. Perhaps. Maybe they had some business to take care of that they had left undone before they became ill. And so they wanted to get back and take care of that. No matter what happened or why they did it, they did not go back to say thank you. And Jesus looked at this one grateful soul standing before him and said to him, your faith has made you whole. Go. Go and embrace a brand new life of untold possibilities. Go. Because not only are you healed physically, you are healed spiritually and mentally. You got it right. Now, here we are, 2019, approaching Thanksgiving, reminded by the commercial pushers that this is Thanksgiving, you know, you got to spend some money, buy that turkey, ham. But remember, this message is about an act of Thanksgiving. And what Jesus was saying to this healed gentleman who came back to thank him, go. Go and do what? Go and never forget that there are people, even in Charlotte, North Carolina, who may be hungry, homeless, ignorant, oppressed, dehumanized. Go and give thanks. How can you give thanks? Not so much by how you articulate it, but by how you live it. Live a life of thanksgiving. Now, the question for us today is, are we among the nine? Or do we imitate the one? It's not what we say, it's what we do. It may cause us to be inconvenienced to turn around and go back many miles, but Jesus said, go. So we, today as God's people, hear a clearing call to live lives of thanksgiving. What is the verdict? It's up to us. Remember, there is a universal lover who is waiting for us to respond, to be just like the one man who came back. Let us hear Paul finally. In all things, give thanks. Because this is God's will concerning you. If I were to try to attempt to list all the things for which we are grateful, you and I would not have time to do it. But I do not know of anybody anywhere who does not have something for which to be grateful. Miracles are still happening. and they are happening to all of us by the grace of God. Amen, amen. And amen. Amen. I noticed that there's a relatively long list of individuals who are listing on the prayer list. There are multiplicity of others whose names do not appear, but who need divine intervention. And so we are going to take a few moments this morning to lift up these individuals in prayer, knowing that God knows about each and every one of them. And they are persons for whom Christ has died. He loves them beyond description. You know them. They may be family. They may be friends or neighbors. And yes, they may even be supposedly enemies, but children of God nevertheless. Let me just pause and ask you if you have, or if you know, of situations that we need to lift up to God today. I would invite you to share. In addition to what we have on the program, if there are others that don't appear there that you know need God's intervention, I invite you to share. Are there others today?
We have one in the choir loft that needs to share.
Keep my husband in your prayers. He was admitted into Presbyterian Maine Wednesday night by ambulance. Severe sepsis. They cannot identify the bacteria or find an antibiotic that seems to be reacting to the bacteria. So he had somewhat of a beginning of an organ shutdown, but they were able to bring him back. So just keep him in your prayers. It's been a long battle. Our concern is that the infection is going back into the hip. So that means the back surgery is delayed. So he needs a lot of prayer and energy. He's starting to get really scared. But I'm okay. I tell you, you're my family.
Yes, I have one. A dear friend of mine that I worked with, and I also taught her daughter. The daughter passed away this past week. She was 39 years old. It's heartbreaking.
I have one as well. Alan Gant fell yesterday and hit her head on the concrete. They did CAT scans. They found no bleeding, but she's got a huge in your prayers as well.
My wife is very soft-spoken. In asking for prayer for my brother, who's her brother-in-law, who lives in up in Bomborough, Maryland, who has recently had an MRI and discovered that he has aneurysm on his spine. So she was asking for prayer for him. Yes, sir. Yes, thank you, sir.
Into the School of Music.
Oh, wow.
Very excited. Wow.
Let us go to God in prayer. Holy and merciful God, we come before you in recognition that you are sovereign, that you are the God of love and mercy, deep compassion, and that you care for each and every one of us. Lord, you know the names of all the individuals who are listening on our order of worship. You know where they live. You know their conditions. You know their needs. We lift them up to you today, O God, and commend them to you for safekeeping, for healing, for restoration, for whatever the needs might be. O God, we thank you that you are the master physician, that whatever may be broken in our bodies, mind, and spirit, you are able to touch us according to your divine will and heal us and restore us. Lord, we commend all the persons whose names have been called in this congregation today who need divine help. Lord, come today and bless as you see fit. And we pause, O God, even in our prayer of petition on behalf of those who need you, as we all do, name by name, person by person. We commend all of us to your safekeeping and grant to us whatever it is that we need. And Lord, we thank you for those who are struggling, going through physical transition. We pray, O God, that the light of Christ would shine upon them and be merciful unto them, and that they may experience, according to your will, a marvelous miracle. And we thank you for what you have already done and what you are doing for so many to heal and restore. Bless this special congregation, each and every member, homebound or present. Lord, we pray for that special person whom you already identified to become the leader of this flock. Send them, O Lord. Send them according to your plan. Remember the homeless, the hungry, the oppressed, the abused, the ignorant, the lost. Use this special body to be a light in a dark world. And now, Lord, teach us how to pray together as you taught the disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as in heaven. Give us this day, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. We do, let us do it in gratitude for what God has already done for us. Let us worship God with our offerings and our gifts.
When I think of all my my faults and my failures. When I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own. Yes, every time I come before His throne,
I say,
receive our offering of your entrusted gifts to us and use them for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. be seated. A special congregational meeting has been called for this morning, and we will proceed to do the Lord's bidding regarding whom the Lord has sent and chosen to be your leaders. At this point, I will call the clerk of session to come forward and to present the nominating committee's report.